Hello, everybody. Jace here. Just wanted to come on before the episode and let you know why I decided to re-release this Matt Hawkins interview from San Diego Comic-Con 2015. As I record this, it is April 18th, 2018. It is Matt's 20th anniversary with Top Cow, and I just thought it would be a good time to kind of flash back to the first time we had Matt on the show. You know, he's an incredibly talented creator. He's a great executive. He's really steered Top Cow in a positive direction over the last 20 years. I'm sure Mark Silvestri would be the first one to say that Top Cow wouldn't be where it is today without Matt's contribution. And also in those 20 years, Matt's kind of come into his own as a creator and a writer, writing some of my favorite titles, not just from Top Cow, but favorite titles anywhere, like Think Tank and Ty, The Postal, things like that. So he's somebody that I respect. He's somebody whose work I enjoy. He's a friend. And, you know, I congratulate him on 20 years at Top Cow. Here's to 20 more. And, you know, what can I say? I'm glad I know the guy. He's awesome. He's fun to hang out with. And, you know, he's a great person on top of being a great creator. Really great father and somebody whose opinion I respect. Not just on comic industry stuff, but just, you know, in life and politics and stuff like that. So congratulations, Matt, from the bottom of my heart. Here's to another 20 years, man. I'm glad to count you among my friends. So I hope you all enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
This is Mark Silvestri, and you are about to experience the Top Cow Chronology Project. Yeah.
Hey everybody, Jace from the Comic Source here with another creative interview. This time I'm talking to the president of Top Cow, Matt Hawkins, who is of course a writer himself on books like Postal and Tithe and of course Think Tank, my favorite comic book title. Again, much like with Mark Silvestri, I don't know that the Top Cow Chronology Project would exist without Matt Hawkins. His book, Think Tank, is really the reason I started reading Top Cow books and sort of got sucked into the Top Cow universe. So Matt's one of those people at a show. You go up and talk to him. He's more than happy to talk about his projects that he's working on. He's very passionate, very excited. Oftentimes you get him talking about stuff and he'll let things slip that maybe he shouldn't, kind of some spoilery stuff, just because he's so excited about the books. So he's always a pleasure to talk to. It's always great to see him at a show. And if you get a chance to talk to him, go up and say hi. Even if you don't know anything about any Top Cow books, you know, go up and say hi. Tell him Jace said to come and find out what Top Cow books I should be reading. And, you know, he can give you the lowdown on the current titles that Top Cow's putting out. I'm sure you'll find something that suits your taste. So I'm going to go ahead and play the interview for you now. Hope you all enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source, the Top Cow Chronology Project, coming to you from the floor of Comic-Con Crazy Saturday. I'm sitting here with Matt Hawkins, president of Top Cow, and awesome writer of many great comics like Tithe and Postal. So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about the state of Top Cow right now. A lot of exciting projects coming up. Where are you guys at as a company as far as being successful and being able to do what you want to do? Are things looking good?
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is, especially for me, is I get to do whatever I want, you know. That's certainly a luxury, but it's also a responsibility because I've got to do stuff that I know will sell and that people will like, and I care a lot about the projects I'm doing. I think what you're going to see more of us doing is veering away from sort of shared interconnected titles and more of standalone projects. I think fans and readers are getting tired of the Marvel and DC models of these 40 and 50 and 100 title interconnected crossover type things. And we used to think that doing two or three books that are connected together was the way to go, but I don't know. I think we've had better success on the titles that are self-contained, so I think we're gonna focus a little more on that.
Hey, and the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and you talked about this in the panel a little bit this morning, is Top Cow as a company seems more so than any other company, either one of the big two or independents, to really add talent from unique places. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, what do you mean by unique places?
I mean, not necessarily going out there and finding artists that are known names.
Oh.
I mean, Facebook, or finding somebody at a con, or Mark sees their art online, DeviantArt, or something
well,
like that.
We are paying attention online. Mark scours Facebook and social media for artists and finds people he likes and sends them to me and says, we should work with this guy or this girl, and then I'll reach out and see if they can do the work. I think we're looking around for new voices. I think, you know, what has worked for us are books like Think Tank and the Tithe and Postal, which are different voices from what you get in most other comics and from other comic companies. So we're looking for more of that. Rather than doing a riff on a Marvel and DC thing, which is what 90% of the indies tend to do, we want to do something that's just completely different.
Well, I think it really speaks to the dedication the company has to the actual craft of comics. You guys want to put out really good quality stuff, and you're looking for, you know, those unique people to give them a chance, much like you do with the talent hunt. Seems to be very successful. I mean, it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, you guys go out there and find those artists, and then the big two notice, and then all of a sudden, you know, they move on. And sometimes it's, you know, I guess it's the nature of business, but sometimes it's too bad.
We understand it and we expect it though. So it's not an unexpected thing. And the reality of it is most comic artists, when they come into this field, are comic fans.
Right.
And they've always wanted to do Batman. Or they've always wanted to do a Spider-Man.
Right.
So they want to do these books. They are fans of these characters. So it's not as hard as you think to get them over once they're done doing something. But it's fine. I mean, a lot of them circle back around and work with us again.
Right.
And people leave, they come back. It's the nature of business. I mean, we don't want people working for us that don't want to be here.
Right, of course.
Because you need people to have passion for what they're doing. And we have no problem with that whatsoever.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of your books specifically. I'm really enjoying Tithe. I've always been a sucker for a heist story, you know, Ocean's 11 and, you know, Heat and those kind of movies. So right away when I heard about it from you, and, you know, the concept of ripping off mega churches, and it seems to me the book has been a huge success to the point that it's no longer going to be just four issues, right?
Right. No, it's we were initially planned it as a four-issue miniseries in between sort of Think Tank arcs, because Persaud wanted to do something a little different,
right.
And we wanted to work out the kinks of getting him in color, and so I feel like we did that, but the four issues, like I said, it was received very well, and the initial orders on the trade was real strong, so, you know, you strike when it's hot, and
right.
So we're doing a second arc now, and I had to sit down and figure it out, because that is one of the few stories I wrote where it was a specific story.
Right.
It was beginning, middle, and done, you know, and so I had to really look at that and say, all right, where can I go with this, you know, but that's every title.
Right.
Think Tank Volume 1 was a planned four-issue arc, what it is now, you know, I mean, anytime, that's the nature of independent comics, is you never know how long you have. I mean, you could have 50 issues, you could have 10, you could have 8. Cancellations come for a variety of reasons. If you lose an artist that's pivotal to the project, you don't want to do it without them. I've always promised Hassan that I would never do Think Tank with another artist. So that will only be he and I together. The Tithe wasn't the same situation, so I was able to do a second arc with Philip Seavey. That arc is going to be a little crazier. I sort of developed a CIA fractured group that has and it's tied together a little bit with Think Tank. In fact, David Lauren will make a guest appearance in the second arc of Tithe. I don't know where, but what it is, long story short, and this is revealed quickly, is that he does something for another group very quickly. I mean, it takes him less than an afternoon. And that causes the ramifications of everything that's going on in the second arc of the Tithe. And he has no idea what he was doing. You know, the law of unintended consequences, you know, when the hacker people and the people involved with Jimmy and these other people, when they track back to you, they realize who did this, he's like, oh, sorry, here, let me help you, kind of thing. And it's not really pivotal to the story, but the idea with the second arc, of the second volume of the Tithe, is that it opens with St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan being taken out. I mean, it's obliterated, 9/11 style. And there's an Islamic fear growing in the country, and it plays to a lot of this. It's just involved in the church. I bring Islam and America into the storyline front and center. But what it is, is, it's kind of, there's multiple layers going on. The CIA has, in fact, a fractured group within the CIA has basically tricked a Westboro-type hate church into breeding Islamic terrorists, unbeknownst to them, in the U.S. to take out and cause. And the reason is that they want to have anti-Islam feeling in America. The ultimate goal is we want anti-Islam feeling in America. People are tired of these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. We need more hatred of these people to fuel what we're doing. So that's basically what the story is, and there's a lot of Islamophobia in it. And see, to me, you know me, I'm an atheist. So for me, Islam, Christianity, it's the same shit.
Right.
You know, it's just different flavors of ice cream.
Right.
You know,
it seems like a very relevant topic. Did you approach it just as a story idea, or are you trying to?
I'm trying to make a social statement. I try to make a social statement in everything I do.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
There's an underlying social message in everything I write.
Okay, if the second art of tithe continues to do as well as the first, are you plan on doing a third, or are you going to take a break for a little bit?
It depends on, you know, I mean, Phil CV, if the work is good and people like it, then yeah, I'd be happy to do a third arc. I mean, it's all sales dependent. This is why independent comics is so sales dependent,
right.
You know. And we sold a lot of think tank trades between the third volume to now. Excuse me, and it helped engender the continuation. You know what I mean? I mean, when things sell over time, it helps give you a reason to go do more of it.
Right.
So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Postal.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a different book in the sense that you have a co-writer on that.
Right.
How does the collaboration work with you and Brian?
Well, Postal 1-4 was based on an outline I wrote several years ago, and I sort of came up with the idea of the town, sort of the basic of the witness protection for criminals and the rehabilitation of who they are and all that. And I had the idea for the character being a lead, being an Asperger's, kind of what his job was in the family. All the characters basically I came up with, Maggie, the sheriff, and I brought Brian in because Brian is a better dialoguer than I am. Okay, he's much more concise, and so I like the way he does it. And where my background is science, his background is psychology. So I knew that he would be able to pull off an Asperger's character with some authenticity. I'm not entirely sure I could do that on my own. So that was part of the methodology. Issue 5 of Postal is actually way more Brian than me. So if you want to see unfettered, crazy Brian, that's issue 5. Issue 6 is based on an idea I had that he's sort of developing. I may pass that, pull my name off the book, because he's really the primary writer. I'm working with him and developing it. I came up with it, and but he's really sort of the driving force past the 4th issue on the book. I mean, I was, like I said, the first 4 was sort of based on an outline I did, but beyond that, he's sort of taking a little more of the lead, especially with issue 5. But the idea was 1-4 was a self-contained arc to establish the world. Issues 5, 6, 7, and 8, which will be the second volume, are all one-shot stories. They're not, it's not some arching story arc. And then the third arc, we were just talking about it, will be a more of an arching arc like the first volume.
Okay. So. And is it planned just to continue as long as the sales, as you're saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, as long as the book sells and it does well, we will, of course, continue to do it.
Yeah, and the reception's been, I mean, I've been hearing a lot about Postal.
Yep, and we've...
Postal and Tithe are probably the two independent books I feel I have the most buzz right now.
Cool. That's good. That's good for me.
So let's talk about my favorite title.
Yes, sir.
Think Tank. I'm so excited it's coming back. I know it's your favorite book.
Yes, it is.
To work on. You'll always produce Think Tank as long as there are people willing to buy it.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk a little bit about what you have planned for David Lauren going forward.
First issue comes out September 23rd. It is called Creative Destruction is the arc. The first arc is largely about the U.S. electronic infrastructure and how fragile it is and how precariously balanced we all are in this technology world that we live in with interconnected phones and internet, and it's fairly dangerous and it's rickety and it's not that hard to take it down. I could do it. So I know if I could do it, I can do it in a storyline. And so we're going to develop and sort of show how this is done. It's by the end of the first issue, you sort of realize that there's more going on than you think. But essentially, there's large-scale issues throughout the United States in terms of, like, in Atlanta. Because there's certain things you can... I did a lot of research, you know me. And there's the Atlanta facility for water. Like, do you know that all the water, public water, drinking water, is controlled by electronic methods that... how much fluorine, how much of this, how much of that. They put chlorine and other things in the water to kill contaminants. You know how easy it would be to go in and hack that and just up one percentage of things? You know what I mean? You just fuck the percentages around and people start drinking, they die.
Right.
You know, I mean, the little things like that are amazing to me at how susceptible we are to essentially to terrorist attack if someone really wanted to do it. So there's a twist, of course, and it's, you know, and David is now at St. Edwards Air Force Base. I did a tour of Edwards last year, and when I was doing wildfire, and I took a lot of photographs of the area, and one of the things that really struck me is that they've converted a lot of the old hangars into office space. Not lab space, but office space. And I'm like, David in the old arc was talking about how he wanted to go to California. They let him go to California, but they stuck him in the desert. You know, it's not like he's in, you know, Santa Monica.
Right.
So that's just kind of, it's funny to me. And what's even funnier is, like, they dragged him out there, but they dragged around his support structure, too, and none of them were happy about it. Imagine, you know, Manish and his wife being dragged out there.
Yeah, they're stuck in the desert. I'm sure.
No, that's definitely a hot bucket. And the other thing is they dragged the psychologist, the woman, out there, too. And like, it's just, and there's a new character that's introduced that is in a lab next to his that he sexually harasses a little bit. She complains about it, and she eventually complains to the shrink, who says, look, they forced me to leave my fucking wife to come out here and babysit this fucking guy. You think they're going to give a shit that he pinched your ass? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, and so she gets really frustrated, and she eventually, what she realizes is she tells David's girlfriend, who kicks his ass, you know, and which is funny to me. So again, a lot of these things, I use the personal anecdotes, because in the story, one of the driving things is that I'm blanking on her name. What's his girlfriend's name? Mira Sway. Mira Sway's in the CIA. She's gone a lot. Okay, she comes back, but she's gone a lot. So he's used to now having had a girlfriend for a while. So when she's gone, he gets real lonely and frustrated and stuff like this, and he doesn't deal with it well. At his core, he's still kind of a man-child.
Right.
And he's a bit of a slacker, and he's a genius. So those are sort of the core points, and the support structure around him sort of manage him in his situation. But, definitely all the main supporting cast is coming back. There are some new characters. The new man, the new person who runs him, the old Harrison / General Clarkson.
Is that right?
Yeah, sorry. It's been a while. There's a new guy. It cracks me up because I've met a few of these guys that are like older Japanese, and this is like a Japanese-American who's like, but he's a military guy and he runs this thing, and he's the straight man because David is constantly trying to fuck with him, but he's just like, that's funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this whole thing, and I don't know if you saw the preview pages where there was the drone and he shot the laser at it, but the subtext of what David's doing is he's working on the Talos Project. You know what the Talos Project is?
No, not familiar.
The Talos Project is basically the military trying to make Iron Man for real. And the exoskeleton, the biggest problem they've had is they need to repower them from space.
Okay.
There's really no way, because they have these suits, they burn up tremendous power.
Right.
So they figured out a way to use these satellites to beam electromagnetic energy down. The problem is it completely fries any body. So they need to take the armor off, set it out, and have the energy beam down so they can work it in the sort of environment. And it's just dealing, and part of this is I just found some stuff on the Talos Project, and I found a listing of some of the problems they were having, and so I just used that.
Right.
It's just fun. So a lot of going on, I mean, but the main story is about the electronic infrastructure.
Okay, and you've mentioned to me before that Think Tank, more so than any other Top Cow book, really seems to do well digitally.
Yes.
Do you have any explanation for that?
I think it's because it gets pushed by librarians.
Okay.
And because I found that we did the American Library Association show recently, and that book was the one that our guy that went said that everyone always talks about that book specifically because it's considered an educational tool.
Well, the tagline for the book is, if you read this comic, it will make you smarter.
Yes. So.
And it is definitely true, especially if you read the science class you do in the back where you have all the links to the research.
Right. And I have a new site, by the way, which makes things a lot easier. It's Matt Talks with 3 T's in the middle. And I've not updated it well enough, but I'm going to start being better about it. But matttalks.com with 3 T's in the middle is where I'm posting all the science classes, like the day the book comes out. So that if you read the comic, you can just go on there and click the links.
Right. And
it makes it just take you right to wherever it was. So you don't have to, you know, talk about it. And I'm posting other stuff up on there, too. And I'm actually working on a podcast of my own and recording short YouTube clips. I'm all going to coordinate with some sort of an effort like that.
Cool. Yeah, and you've also mentioned before you hear readers these days, comics have gotten expensive, and you know, you pick up some books and it's a 5 to 10 minute read and you're done.
Yeah.
With the science class, you can spend hours.
Yes.
Hours of entertainment. So.
Well, that's, yeah. You know, and that's the thing. And I think that's another reason why digital works, is because usually once something material's been out for a while, digital's cheaper.
Right.
You know, so I think that's the other thing. And I think there's a lot of people discover Think Tank and then they recommend it to friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's which is great.
We don't get word of mouth book.
Yeah, it's a great word of mouth book. It makes people think. You know, and I, for me, it's like if it doesn't make me think, it's not stuff I'm like weirded out by, right, then no one else is gonna care. So I always make sure it's stuff that interests me, stuff that I find interesting. And I know the book's not for everyone. I've tried to get certain people into it, and they just don't get it. You know, it's fine. Not everything's for everyone.
Has there been a good response? Are people excited that it's coming back?
Yeah. No, the response has been strong. I'm very curious what it's going to sell, because we don't have the numbers yet. But we sold thousands of trades between by the time that book canceled to now. So there are a lot of people that read the first three volumes of the trade. I'm curious if that's going to translate to increased 32-page book sales. In my head, it's probably not, because they're just going to see that and wait for the volume four of the trade. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, but if you, I'm telling you listeners right now, if you want more Think Tank, get out there and buy the floppies. That's what really lets the companies know that the book is popular, because oftentimes by the time you wait for the trade, the book may have already been canceled, because it's just that timetable. You know, especially independent, you guys don't have a giant corporation like Disney or Warner Brothers backing you. So.
Well, and they're cutthroat about it too.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, the margins on comics are very, very small these days.
Yep, so, definitely is.
And we should be seeing some Top Cow properties maybe in some other media. I know you can't say...
No, we sold Think Tank and Postal both into television. I can't say who it's with. They'll be announcing it in the next few weeks, but I've been working with one of the writers they've hired to work on Think Tank, and it should be fun. It's not going to be exactly the comic. It's going to be... it'll be a little later. Like, in the comic, in my head, he's 28. This will probably be when he's 35.
Okay.
So it'll be... And the nice thing about that is it takes place after all the comics.
Right.
You know what I mean? So in my head, it works in continuity canon, kind of a...
Right. And plus, people can't say, well, it's not exactly like the comic. Well, it's seven years
from later,
now.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Well, that's exciting news. I think Postal also will translate very well to the small screen, or the big screen, for that matter. A very intriguing story. So we hope you listeners are out there picking up Top Cow books. Thank you a lot for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking.
Thanks, as always.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks, sir.
Got it.